City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
A very good Wolves midweek to you. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Thank you, Thunder. Appreciate that. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday installment of the show. The former head coach and now new assistant head coach, formerly of UMary, now new assistant for Northern State Men's Basketball, Jack Nelson. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that discussion with him. And also Kaylee Ness, head coach of the Northern State softball squad. She'll be joining us as well here in the next 10 to 15 minutes. That's what's on tap for us here today. We'll get to the jump here shortly, plus some brand new breaking news. First and foremost, though, my co-host, Matt McClure. How is your Wednesday, sir?
Doing all right. How are you doing today, man?
Doing okay. I'm hanging in there. Had some Girl Scout cookies up front. Today is National Girl Scout Cookie Day, by the way.
Okay. There you go.
So I think Kristen brought in those cookies.
Yes, sir.
Had some Thin Mints. I'm happy.
Those are your favorites, huh?
Oh, come on.
Please. I like the peanut butter patties, man. Those are my favorites.
Those are good, too.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of those.
I mean, I like them all. I don't discriminate.
Shortbread. I mean, it all. They all hit so hard.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. See, that's the beautiful thing about having two daughters now for me, is I can just have them go out and do their thing and bring home all the cookies.
There you go, man.
That's the way my wife and I plan it all out, just so they can bring home the cookies, for sure. But looking forward to that. Looking forward to a Wolves midweek installment of the Sports Hub here today. And speaking of looking forward to, we've got some breaking news, which means... Our boy Cole Bowen and our breaking news sounder. Does it get better than a breaking news sounder than the Cole Bowen and the play-by-play guy down south from Mount Marty?
No, that's a good play-by-play sound, or a good breaking news sounder there. And a good play-by-play call, by the way.
Absolutely. I'm just waiting for the glass to shatter and Stone Cold to get some beers thrown to him. By the way, speaking of the guy that throws the beers to Stone Cold, you sent me that funny tweet the other day. What did you study in school or something like that? Or
yeah, it was I want to grow up, what would my job want to be? Like, when I grow up, what would my job be? And there's a guy in the corner just throwing Stone Cold the beers with a headset on.
What does one study in high school and college to become the guy that throws the beers to Stone Cold? You know, it's like, what do you even, public relations? I don't know. Something in communications, I would guess.
Yeah, and a WrestleMania too in Vegas. He had the four wheeler out, and he ran it into the barricade too. It was a rough weekend, I guess, there for Stone Cold.
Well, you know, you have a couple more of those, you got yourself a DUI.
Yeah,
you want to be driving that four wheeler around. But breaking news is we are taking the Sports Hub on the road this upcoming Friday. Looking forward to this. We will be live, local, and on location coming up on Friday from the ODI Center as the Wings have an opportunity to break out the brooms against Bismarck there on Friday. Sports Hub, of course, daily sports talk show Monday through Friday from 10 till 11. 98 times out of 100, we're right here on South Highway 281, but sometimes we go on location, and this Friday is one of those times. We'll talk with Cy on the program. We'll talk with the captain as well for the Aberdeen Wings, so should be a great sports hub there on Friday on location, just getting the juices flowing for a big matchup for a whiteout.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be a big-time matchup on there on Friday, and looking forward to kind of leading into the show or leading into the game with that a little bit. Obviously, we go on the air at 10 a.m., but still, being there, just kind of seeing the – I mean, I think practice is going to be going on as well, so just kind of seeing the laser-eyed focus of the players. I'm looking forward to that, man, being live there from the ODI Center's Game 3, big matchup for the Wings, and let's see if they can close it out. We're going to be talking with, like you said, Cy, captain. Looking forward to that as well.
You know, we've been on location before. We did it once or twice out at the Brown County Fairgrounds back in the day, and I'm like talking way back in the day from the Big Yellow Boombox. We've done it live from the B. We've done it from Mike Schmidt's office. This is a first going to the Odie, so I think it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we might need to bring a hoodie or something. We're going to be near the ice here. It could be a little cold there.
A little chilly. Going to the hands. See how it all plays out. But looking forward to that this upcoming Friday here on the Sports Hub. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by
Mr. Unlimited
and the Cobra. We call him Matt McClure. Let's toss this thing skyward on FSA. Head coach Ness will be joining us in the next 10 minutes. Looking forward to that discussion with Northern State head softball coach. But first and foremost, we go ahead and I don't mean to do this immediately to start up the program, but we kind of have to start up on a sad note here today.
Okay.
And word came out yesterday that Mike Patrick passed away, longtime play-by-play broadcaster for Sunday Night Football on ESPN. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this or not.
I did not.
But he was the play-by-play voice from ESPN back in the day, and I believe he did play-by-play for, I saw, 36 years on that network. He was the voice of Sunday Night Football for a lot of years, and I just wanted to kind of play a couple of pieces of audio. Number one, not to open old wounds, but this may be one of my all-time favorite Mike Patrick calls. So this is back in 2002. The Seahawks played the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I think it was week 4, and both teams are off to kind of a slow start, but the Seahawks just completely dominated the Vikings in this game. If memory serves correctly, I want to say it was 48-23. And the Seahawks just went on an absolute tear for about 3.5 minutes. Sean Alexander had 5 touchdowns in the first half. They just wiped the floor with the Minnesota Vikings. And Mike Patrick had one of my personal favorite calls. And sorry, Vikings fans, but it's a quick one. It's only 8 seconds long.
If you joined us late, the game summary is pretty simple. Seattle won the toss and elected to kick the living bejesus out of the Vikings, and they've done it.
I just love that. I love that. Good old-fashioned stuff there from Mike Patrick. And also, this is very, very interesting. If you watch a game on ABC or Fox or ESPN, CBS, doesn't matter what network you're watching it on, I cannot imagine watching without the first down line.
Yeah.
Now, there used to be a time the first down line wasn't on the TV. You're like, it's third and whatever. Did he get 16? Did he get 18? I don't know. Mike Patrick was the first guy to ever install or at least explain the first down line to the listeners. Check it out.
Welcome back to Baltimore. To help you better enjoy our Sunday night coverage, ESPN unveils its latest technical innovation on tonight's game. It's ESPN's first and 10. The gold-colored line you'll see appears to be painted on the field, but it's really being electronically generated by us. It's a visual reference for you to always know the yard line an offense has to reach for a first down. While it is accurate to 1/10 of a yard, it won't be used to question officials' marks or measurements. It is purely to help you enjoy and understand the game.
How about that?
Wow.
1998 was when the first down line was installed.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, 1998. And, of course, it was there in Baltimore between the Bengals and the Ravens there when the Bengals and Ravens basically had a game that no one cared about. Now it actually is a big game there in the AFC North. But there you go. First time ever heard ESPN back in the day with Mike Patrick.
Yeah, rest in peace, Mike Patrick. I remember him more so. I'm a little bit on the younger side from you there, Duke. So I remember him more so. For me, at least, doing college football for the ACC.
Sure.
When he transitioned to the ACC football, he had a couple great call. He was one of my favorites growing up for college football. That's kind of how I remember him, more so than the NFL stuff. But certainly pretty cool there with the first down line there. And, you know, imagine watching football nowadays without that. You can't.
You can't. You really can't. You're watching the game, you're like, where's the ball? How far away are they? So, yeah, just really, really sad news. 36 years as a play-by-play commentator there for ESPN. He was the network's NFL voice for Sunday Night Football, 18 years.
Wow.
And passed away yesterday at the age of 80. So sad news coming out there. So not to open up the show on a kind of a downer note, but that did come out there yesterday. A couple other things here of note before we bring in head coach Ness. Did see this on social media yesterday. The Elman Center down south in Sioux Falls, which is where Augustana, they play their home basketball games. It's getting a bit of a makeover, a $2.1 million donation. And the Elman Center is getting a brand new floor. They're getting chair back seating, premium seating, and new lighting and sound. So
wow.
The renderings are out there, and kind of a cool deal as the Elman Center is getting a bit of a makeover. And when I go down there to call games, it's been kind of three or four rows up, and maybe I'll have a seat back or something like that. It's not all about me. I'm not saying that. But, you know, for the fans out there, of course, that place is basically Barnett Center 2.0 when the Wolves are playing down there. A lot of Northern fans. So now ease your lower backs, Northern State fans. When you go down to the Elman Center, you're going to have seat backs in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, this looks pretty cool here, just this outlook of what the court and kind of what the renovations are going to look like. Definitely going to be interesting to see how it all comes to be. And you know, you look at it maybe like on a stream or something, mm-hmm. and you say, oh, it looks a little bit different. But when you're there and you'll have the opportunity to go, you'll be like, oh, this is actually pretty neat. But like you said, an opportunity for Northern State fans to fill up that building now with the new renovations.
And we do it very, very well. I mean, this last year when Northern was down there, it felt like a home game. It really did. It was a great atmosphere. I was like, man, this is Wachs Arena 2.0. It was fantastic. So looking forward to that. And I think the older folks there for Northern State and younger folks, who am I kidding? I mean, I'm only 34, but I got a bad back. So, I mean, you're not going to have to watch the game hunched over or anything like that anymore with the seat back. So appreciate that there down south at the Elman Center.
Yeah, the chair back seating, it's a game changer, man.
Very much so.
It is so much a game changer because, like you said, sometimes you're watching a game and you don't have that. You got the hunchback and you got to, like, get up from time to time, stretch out the back. It's just kind of a brutal way to watch the game. Now you'll do it, but it's not the greatest experience ever.
I broadcast games at the Strode Center at Presentation College for 7 years. No seat back up there. And I did that for 7 years. Maybe that's the reason why I got a bad back now. I don't know. But you're 100% factual there. Total game changer.
Yeah, it is. And I remember when I was doing just high school games, and I was doing a lot of games from the bleachers.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I bought something that was like a seat back. You know, you see that all the time. You got the chair with the school name on it. I bought something off of Amazon because I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. Like, my back's just going to be terrible in a couple years if I'm going to
stadium seats.
Yeah, stadium seat. Thank you. Yeah, like the stadium seats. Mm-hmm. You just put it on the bleachers and you can just fold it up. I actually still have it.
I still have mine too. Yeah, I think my mother-in-law actually got me one for Christmas 1 year. So shout out to her. Shout out to you and Amazon. And you got to have a seat back.
Yeah. It's just doing those games. You know, doing double headers without that. It can be tough. I'm not complaining, but it was definitely. I could feel my back hurting. I can kind of feel my back hurting right now thinking about it.
I'll complain for you. I mean, I tell you what, it's not ideal, but some places are like that, and looking forward to that in the not-too-distant future there for Augustana. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some Northern State softball. The head coach of the Wolves softball squad is Kaylee Ness. I'm finally going to have an opportunity to meet her in person. I was out sick the last time, so looking forward to that discussion with her after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial as well. As Jack Nelson, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour, but first and foremost, the manager for the Northern State softball squad, Kaylee Ness, joins us live in studio. Good morning, Coach. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Nice to meet you as well.
Yeah.
We were playing email tag for two or three weeks. You were sick, and then I got sick, and it's just been a wild season. We were talking off the air how fast this season has gone for you, huh?
Yeah. Kind of you blink and it's over.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast the season has gone, and you've got the final weekend of home games here a little bit for you guys this upcoming weekend against Crookston as well as Bemidji. Not the season that you'd like to have to this point, but probably a lot to learn. There has been a lot of positives, though, in the season as well. What have you, I guess, what's kind of your global thoughts on the season to this point?
Yeah, obviously not having all the outcomes that, you know, I think any coach would want, or knowing, like, the capabilities of the team that we have here. But we've had some people be able to step up, and we've gotten a lot of experience in different roles on the team. And so I think just really focused on building a really strong foundation for the future. And I think we've done that.
Yeah, and, you know, Tukes mentioned it. Obviously the results haven't been there this year, but, you know, can you, what are some of the things, I guess, you can learn first year as the coach, you know, during a tough season? Is it difficult at all trying to, you know, when you're losing, you might not have, I mean, see some teams not bring the effort that a coach is looking for. Do you still get those kinds of things as the season moves along?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel fortunate with that. And something I think I just kind of stand on for myself and what I kind of want out of the team is, like, regardless of the outcome or regardless of what other people are doing, like, we're not going to change who we are and the things that we do. And I think that that's something we've tried to preach a lot to the girls, and something that they've really bought in and understanding what the expectations are, and becoming more process focused rather than outcome, and knowing that if we do the right things each and every day, the outcome will follow.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, because as soon as you say that, I'm thinking that sounds exactly like Mike Schmidt last year, the first four games of the season for Northern State football. They were so focused on, hey, we got to get the result. We got to get the result. And they weren't getting the results. They were 0-4, and then they started really focusing on the process of, hey, if we just do X, Y, and Z, the result will take care of itself. How difficult is that, especially for, you know, 18 to 22-year-old gals to say, hey, we got to stop focusing on, you know, the bottom of the seventh or the bottom of the ninth, whatever it is, to get that result? You got to focus on the process to get there.
Yeah, I think it just kind of comes down to kind of even just the world we live in, right? Everything is very outcome-based, very result-based, and, you know, everyone wants constant feedback and constant results. And I think just getting the team to really understand that it's a grind, and it's about growth, and it's about development, and it's about getting to where we need to be, not necessarily focusing on what's next, just being kind of present in the moment and seeing where we can best be successful then.
So what are some of the positive things that you've seen here, you know, maybe the last month of the season, that maybe you weren't doing at the beginning of the season, and now you're seeing, hey, we're starting to see what we were talking about earlier on in the year?
Yeah, I think we're getting a little more consistent. I think that's a really big thing for us. Looking through necessarily the teams that we had played, we'd have really high moments with teams, some of the best teams, and then we'd have some low moments with, you know, varying difference of levels. And I think just finding ways to be consistent, and that's kind of just another pillar that we've preached on, is making sure that we're consistent in the things that we can control, and that's our attitude, our effort, and our mentality. And as long as we're consistent in that, the physical side will follow suit. We just need to make sure that we're not up and down with you know, the highs and lows, and just making sure we kind of do that. So I think overall, I think that maturity and that growth in terms of being able to try to be as consistent as possible and those things have really kind of helped. And obviously it hasn't necessarily fully translated over to, you know, winning all the games that we're capable of winning. But it's getting there. And so we're just still focusing on putting all the pieces of the puzzle together, you know, the defense and offense and the pitching side. And so, We're getting there. It just hasn't fully came around yet.
And you mentioned that you've been dealing with a couple injuries here this year. So my guess is other gals on your squad have had to step up into roles that maybe they weren't at the beginning of the season. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had some people that had to play some pretty big roles, and maybe even some positions that they've never even played before. And so just kind of seeing them being willing to do whatever the team needed in that moment was it's a really proud moment for us as coaches, and hopefully anyone else that's watching, just seeing like the team kind of grind together and knowing that this is a team that's going to fight for each other and fight for the success.
Kaylee Ness joining us here in studio. And I think that's a really powerful thing, as you talk about playing for each other. And I can't tell you how many coaches we've talked to over the years that say, when we're playing for each other, that's really powerful. How long does it take to get to a team that's all kind of on the same page and gelling like that? Because it sounds like you guys are on the right track there.
Yeah, you know, I think it just comes down to the personnel that you have, and it comes down to the accountability that they hold over each other. I think sometimes it's easy, especially when things aren't going the team's way, to kind of become a little bit more individualized. And I think that that's something that we've tried to like really hammer, is that it doesn't matter if you have the best stats in the world. If we're not winning as a team, it doesn't get us to our end goal of, you know, making postseason and things like that. And so just trying to kind of rework the way that they think things and they approach things. And I think with having a young team, it's really important to have really strong leadership that is bought into that to try to get everyone going in that same direction.
Looking at your schedule, it looks like the last 3 weeks you've been pretty competitive in each of the last three series. What has really stood out the last couple weeks here?
Yeah, I think we've gotten some people back that are kind of cleared to play, and that's been really big for us. But also I think that they're kind of finding their rhythm a little bit and understanding what they need to do for themselves to be successful and just trying to keep it simple. I think sometimes, and I think anyone can kind of attest to this, you know, you have runners in scoring position and you want to come up and you want to be the hero, or you want to, you know, hit this big hit that's going to score these runs. And in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't have to be anything heroic. It's just putting the ball in play and giving ourselves an opportunity to score runs. And so that's kind of what I would say we kind of switched our focus to the past couple of weeks, especially, you know, when things aren't going your way, you can find your way just like pressing really hard to play outside of your strengths. And so we've just tried to get back to our roots and understanding that with runners on three or runners on two, like, this is all you need to do. It doesn't have to be anything crazy or complicated. And I think that that sometimes can get kind of lost in the translation. You're looking at our games, there's almost, I would say, majority of the games we've been in position to win where we've had runners in scoring position with less than two outs, multiple innings, and we've just kind of come up, you know, shy of it. And so just getting them to understand, you know, that it's not, we don't have to hit all these home runs. We don't have to hit all these doubles off the wall. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. A ground ball up the middle is great, or a ground ball, you know, or a fly ball that's going to, you know, be a sack fly or something like that. Just kind of trying to get them to understand it doesn't have to be this miraculous thing, that just by them scoring a run with something simple is all we need.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we talk a lot about that. You know, we were talking, you know, with the Aberdeen Smitties and their baseball squad, you know, they struggled with that a little bit last year. And it's as simple as putting a ground ball to the right side and move that second runner over to second to third, or like you talked about, the sack fly. You know, you hear the term situational hitting a lot. Is that something that – what do you think it is? Is it more so just striking out in those kinds of spots, or what's been the, I guess, the approach when you have had runners in scoring position?
Yeah, I think – I would say these last couple of weeks are different. I feel like we've done a lot. The team has done a lot better of a job putting the ball in play and not going down looking, or, you know, leaving it up to the umpire, things like that. They're at least putting the ball in to give us opportunities to score. And I think that that's kind of where, you know, maybe towards the middle of season we'd kind of got, because it was like they're still pressing so hard, and they're, you know, all for the best of reasons, right? Like, they want to come up and they want to be the clutch hitter for their team, and they want to be able to be successful in the role so we can win games. But it was almost pressing too hard. We're swinging at pitches that we shouldn't be swinging at, or watching pitches that, you know, we need to be falling off or putting into play. And so just kind of getting them to change their mentality on how to be successful in that.
I'm having a hard time not smiling over here, because I'm just thinking of, like, all the movies. Like, just watch a movie. Like, watch a softball movie. Watch a baseball movie. It's just like the ball that hits the lights, it's like it's like you got to break that mentality, because you're not going to hit the 3-run home run that goes on to, you know, I-29.
Right.
You know, sometimes you got to do the little things just to get the job done, right? It's like you got to break those mental little blockages, if you will, right?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about celebrating the little things, and it's even come down into practice of, you know, if we're throwing live situations or whatnot, one of the girls, you know, hits maybe a little bit of a blooper or something that still drops, you know, it's kind of in no man's land. And they're like, oh, what'd I do wrong? And I'm like, let's not think about it like that. One, you got on base. And two, you just scored that runner from third. You did exactly what you needed to do. I mean, how many times do you see hitters hit the ball extremely hard and they're out, right? Like, those little bloops, as much as they might not feel great, they get the job done sometimes. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. You just got to go up and you got to put the ball in play.
I feel like Brad Pitt over here. He does what? Gets on base.
Oh, yeah. Gets on base a lot.
Gets on base. Yeah, that's what you got to do. Kaylee Ness joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So year one here at Northern State, obviously there's ups and downs with that. What have you learned the most from your perspective in your first year at the helm for the Wolves?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in, like, what aspect? In terms of my team, or in terms of
maybe your coaching style? Maybe you had a certain way that you did things at Chadron. Maybe you've maybe changed that up a little bit. Or are you the same coach that was in Chadron last year or a couple years ago?
Yes and no, I guess. I would say, like, I've always wanted to make sure that I hold true to my values and who I am as a person and as a mom and who I am as a coach. And so, and I think I even talked about this last time, like, it's very important for me to, for my team to know that they're valued and that they're loved and, you know, that I believe in them. You know, I've always wanted to be someone that people want to play for because they know that I'm going to have their back and push them to be better. And so I would say, like, my values and all that and, you know, the pillars that I want my program to be have stayed the same, for sure. I think that it just changes based off the personnel that you have, right? Like, if you have a younger team, it changes a little bit in terms of how you approach different situations because you know you're going to be building through that maturity and kind of helping them grow and develop. And so it's kind of, I guess, tough to answer. I mean, coaching style might change a little bit depending on if you have a lot of speed or you have a lot of power or things like that. And so I would say that's probably more the biggest thing. I wouldn't say that we have a ton of speed this year per se. Hopefully it's something that we can really grow in the future. But so in terms of being able to be a team that gets to run and take all the extra bases that I'd like, you know, obviously that's something that I want to change for the future. But in terms of, you know, the pillars and like who I want to be as a coach and what I want my program to stand for, I would say that I'm probably pretty similar in that aspect. But yeah, obviously different things have to change a little bit based on the age and maturity and then kind of what your team's strengths are.
You got four games coming up this weekend, all four at home. You got Crookston and Bemidji State. You know, four games in 2 days, you know, you hear the coach's cliche, you got to take it one game at a time. But, you know, when you're playing four games in a little span, is that really important there? Like, just taking it one pitch at a time and you know, four games in 2 days.
Yeah. When we've talked a lot about that a lot too, you know, mm-hmm. just making sure that we're in the moment. We're not worrying about the next inning or the previous at bat or, you know, what's going to happen next game or who they're going to throw this game or any of those situations. We're just trying to get them to focus in on being in the present and being able to be successful in that moment.
Maybe one or two more here with Coach Ness on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Maddie Jones had a nice season to this point.
Yep.
What have you seen from her and her approach at the dish? And looks like she's had a really nice year.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just kind of keeping it simple for her. And it's really been really nice for us to be able to kind of just see her step up in the role that she has. And she's been a big player for us, you know, in terms of scoring runs and being consistent and getting on base. And so just kind of seeing her be able to develop and grow in like the knowledge of the game and in pressure situations. You know, she has a very good demeanor at the plate and just making sure she kind of holds true to that in her pitch selection, but she's doing a really nice job for us.
Overall, what's your thoughts in the circle there, the pitching kind of side of things? Obviously, in softball, that's a big deal, right? If you have a dominant pitcher, you can go a long way. What's your overall assessment of that area?
Yeah, and that's probably where it's been a little bit tough just in terms of injuries. And so our biggest thing is the ones that we still have that are able to play, just trying to keep them as healthy as possible and knowing that we do have some youth in the circle, and, you know, Abby's been great in trying to kind of help them grow and develop, and, you know, we've kind of had to rely on her quite a bit. And so I think that even though we haven't had the season that any of us would have liked of, you know, the seniors and, you know, Abby, they're leaving a really strong legacy behind. And I think that going in the future, we just need to be able to have more depth, you know, if hopefully it doesn't happen again, but if there's injuries that kind of come up, that we have some others that can be able to kind of step up in those roles.
Well, given the fact that it is senior weekend here, what's this senior class kind of mean to you? You know, I think a lot of coaches, you know, when they have their first year, that senior class is really, really important to them. They kind of teach them their culture, their style, or, you know, you're trying to implement your fingerprints on the culture and what have you. What's this senior class kind of mean to you?
Yeah, they mean a lot. I wish I could actually keep them for another year. I feel just really blessed. I mean, I think it's an unknown for players and for coaches when you go into a coaching change of, you know, what's it going to be like? You know, what's my team going to be like? Or what's this coach going to be like? And I've just been super blessed. I mean, they've been bought into me. They've worked hard for me. They've held all the values and the accountability that I could have ever asked of them. And so we wouldn't be in this place if it wasn't for them. And so that's kind of where I was saying, you know, I feel really good about everything that they've done and have accomplished and you know, how hard they worked for me. Obviously, I would have loved for a different outcome for them and for the rest of the team, but they're leaving a really strong foundation for us to build on in the future.
All right, looking forward to this upcoming weekend. Like you mentioned there, at Keeler Hall of Fame Field, first pitch on Saturday, 1 o'clock, and then 12 o'clock on Sunday there against Bemidji State. Thanks for popping in studio. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Head Coach Ness joining us live in studio on FSA as Jack Nelson. He'll be joining us after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Our thanks to Kaylee Ness for joining us here on the program. But first and foremost, it's not going to be, or I should say, second and second most? I don't know how that works out. But anyways, we are joined with Jack Nelson. It'll be basketball season before you know it. I don't know where I'm going with this. I've got nothing on that one. But
he's lost me there.
Yeah, I lost myself. I lost myself on that one, too. But Coach Nelson joins us on the phone line. Coach, good to talk with you here this morning. How are you?
Yeah, doing really good. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, I have no idea what I was going for there. I was looking for some sort of transition, and nothing was coming.
Assistant? Is that where you were at?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, assistant.
Thank you. Thank you, Cobra. That's second and second most. Second in charge.
Yeah.
That's what I was going with there. Of course, that's exactly what I was going for. Jack Nelson joins us here, and Coach, welcome to Aberdeen. I mean, you know Aberdeen quite well. You coached UMary for the last handful of years. How did this whole thing kind of come to be to be the new assistant for Coach Wilbur?
Yeah, you know, Coach Wilbs and I have known each other and been friends for, gosh, I don't even want to put a number of years on it. It's been a long time, you know, starting back when I was a young assistant at the University of Sioux Falls and just kind of running in the same circles and that kind of stuff, you know, and he kind of, as the process was playing out for him, he was kind of keeping me in the loop. And you know, in the coaching world, it's, you don't ever want to put the cart before the horse. Try to use my analogies, right?
There you go.
And so just try not to get ahead of ourselves. But once it became official, then, you know, talks kind of heated up. And, you know, obviously an opportunity to come be a part of a program with just awesome tradition and just an awesome place.
Hey, Coach, thanks a lot for joining us. Matt McClure here. And you know, you have a lot of NSIC experience coaching there at UMary before this. You know, just kind of, you know, what kind of experiences, you know, do you think you can bring here as the assistant here at Northern State? Some of the your kind of overall outlook on it.
Yeah, you know, I've been blessed to, I guess I'll look at it as being blessed. You know, I've been blessed to be a part of a number of different programs in the league. You know, I was an assistant at Minot with Coach Merkin for 4 years. I was assistant at the University of Sioux Falls for. 6 years on two different stints with Coach Johnson, and then you being the head coach at UMary. So I've been around, you know, this part of the country and the NSIC for a really long time. So I think just my experience and just being comfortable within the league is probably the biggest thing. There's all sorts of recruiting ties and stuff like that, but you know, to be honest, like. On our coaching staff, like I'm going to be the only one that has done a lot of stuff in, you know, not for the first time this year, you know, whether it's traveling to Bemidji, to Duluth, to CSP, to Winona, you know, so hopefully I can smooth over the transition and make it easy for us that way.
Yeah, there was a great Super 8 in Duluth, and then we got us, I don't know, all those sorts of little things for sure that you kind of have a step ahead of the competition, if you will, I guess. But Jack Nelson joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and you mentioned that Northern State men's basketball has had a lot of great success over the last handful of years. Obviously, the last two, not as much. But is there pressure from your perspective maybe to kind of restore that, for lack of a better term, greatness? I mean, everyone's saying, oh my gosh, you know, here comes Coach Wilbur and everyone else is, we're back. Northern State men's basketball is back. It's going to take some time to get quote unquote back. Is there pressure that comes along with that or not so much?
Yeah, but there's pressure for sure, but I think pressure is a privilege in that sense, right? Like it's a good kind of pressure. You're trying to get back to, you know, I don't want to say the glory days, but the glory days where we're winning at a high level and where we're one of the best teams in the league. And, you know, I might be an NSIC homer, but I think it's the best Division II league in the country. And if you're one of the best teams in this league, then you're one of the best teams in the nation. So I think that pressure is a privilege and I'm excited to attack it. I know Wilbs is excited to attack it. But you're right. It's going to take some time. But I do think that, you know, we can show, you know, some major growth right away, you know, with the landscape of college basketball today. Like it's not unheard of to go from, you know, one of the bottom teams to being one of the top teams. Not saying that'll happen right away because it's easier said than done, I guess. But I do think we have an opportunity to get it going pretty fast.
And Coach, we talk a lot about, you know, the transfer portal on this show. I mean, we just do. We're intrigued by it. Just how, you know, a guy can just enter the portal and then he can commit to a team. He can decommit to a team. You obviously have a lot of experience, you know, being a coach and the head coach. You know, what's kind of your just overall thoughts on it? I mean, we're just trying to see, you know, we call it the wild, wild west. It's just, it's craziness.
Yeah, it is. The wild west is a good way to put it. You know, I see both sides of it. You know, I see the positives of it. I see the negatives of it. But at the end of the day, I guess it doesn't really matter, good or bad. It's just the reality of what we're living in. You know, so we just, I think that you just got to take it, you know, day by day, season by season, week by week. You know, you're always, until there's some other regulations, and I don't know if that'll ever come, but until there is, like, you know, March, April, May, there's just going to be some crazy times. You know, and our goal here is, you know, to be able to build a program and give our guys an experience that make it really hard for them to do that. And, you know, if they do, if they're one of the best players in the league and that happens and they're able to, you know, make that jump, then okay, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And that's something that we can be celebrated. But, you know, we're going to do our best to coach our program here and provide the right type of experience for our guys that make it really hard to want to go somewhere else.
We're talking with Jack Nelson, new assistant coach for the Northern State men's basketball squad here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I guess what's kind of your style to build this team? Obviously, at UMary, you know, you had a certain way that you wanted to build a program. Does that change now that you're an assistant? Do you want to go high school, and then kind of supplement with a couple of portal guys? Or, I mean, how does that kind of process work out to be in conjunction with Coach Wilbur on that?
Yeah, you know, I think every job is different, right? Like, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, doing it at Mary is different than here, and is different than Minot, is different than Sioux Falls. It's just different. You know, so really finding the rhythm. You know, I think we talked about the history of this place a little bit. Like, it's been built on four-year guys and high school guys. You know, there's a lot of small-town South Dakota guys that have come here and really excelled and thrived and achieved some great things. So I don't think there's any reason to try to do it differently than that. But again, with the landscape of college basketball, like, yeah, we're going to have to dabble in the transfer portal a little bit, you know, especially this first year, you know, because there's just, fact of the matter is, there's not a lot of really good high school guys left. It doesn't mean we won't look at some of those guys and that kind of stuff, but, you know, it's our job to put a product out there that's going to be competitive in the NSIC. And when everybody else is 23, 24 years old, it's real difficult to run out a whole bunch of 18-year-old guys. So the portal will be, you know, we'll be pretty heavy in that in the immediate future, but, you know, hopefully over the course of time, we can, you know, we can build it more with high school kids.
So my guess is it's probably been a whirlwind for you, except the assistant coach job. I mean, is it as simple as just like packing your stuff up and leaving? Is that kind of how it is? You know, because we talk a lot about it. We had the receivers coach in. I'm blanking on his name for Northern State. He was at one place. And then,
Coach Wiseman.
Yeah, Coach Wiseman. He was at one place, and he's like, all right, I'm going here. Like, what's that like for you?
Yeah, it's a whirlwind, to say the least. You know, I've got my wife, I've got two kids, I've got a fifth grader and a second grader. And so they're going to stay in Bismarck for a little bit, you know, let them finish the school year and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I packed a bag up and said goodbye, and I put some miles on going back and forth so I can see them on the weekends and that kind of stuff. But yeah, you just kind of move down and just get to work. You know, it's fun. It's exciting. I'm still going through that. I think everybody in every profession goes, anytime you change jobs or go somewhere new, it's like you're doing everything for the first time. Just simple stuff like, well, where do I print to? And something that should take a yeah. minute takes, you know, 10. But that gets less and less on each passing day. So it's been great. I'm excited to be here. And just, yeah, look forward to keep continuing to get more comfortable.
Coach, 10 years for me in Aberdeen in August. I still don't know where to print to. And I've been here long enough, and is it printer one or is it printer two? You know, sometimes printer one ain't working. That stupid P PC load letter. What does that mean?
Yeah.
If you understand that reference, you're a friend of mine.
I'm old enough to get that reference. Yeah. And I'm old enough to still use a printer and all that kind of stuff. Most of our guys are probably like, Coach, why do you need to print anything? Like, it's just on the computer. but I'm still, you know, I like pencil and paper and all that kind of stuff.
I'm a physical guy. I like my physical paper, absolutely. Maybe one or two more here with Jack Nelson on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I know you can't talk about guys that have signed and committed because of NCAA rule and that sort of thing, but are there a couple guys out there that are not on social media that you're really kind of looking forward to that have already committed to you guys?
Yeah. I think we've got a good start. You know, social media is a wonderful place and a horrible place all at the same time. I try not to dive into it too much. You know, I'm obviously on there because it's part of my job, and it's just, you kind of have to be nowadays, I think. But I'm sure there's some people wondering, like, well, why haven't we got, you know, how come there's not been more, you know, more movement and that kind of stuff? You know, I think one of the things that excited me about working with Coach Wilbur is just not feeling like we're in a rush, you know, maintaining some patience, making sure that we are getting a lot of coaches will say our kind of guys, right? Like, kind of cliche and stuff like that. But we want to make sure we're getting guys that really want to be here and embrace what this place is all about and embrace the type of culture that we're trying to build. And so we're going to avoid the, you know, just taking guys so we can say we're done or just taking guys to make a splash. Like, we're going to do our due diligence and make sure we're taking guys that, you know, like I said, really want to be here and can really excel here.
Hey, you mentioned it, you know, and you kind of answered it there, but you said we want our kind of guys. What does that look like? Who are your kind of guys?
Yeah, you know, I think the first and foremost is what I just said, right? The guys that really want to be here and guys that understand what Northern State is all about, that can appreciate some of the history. You know, young people, especially young men in general, like, they probably never truly, truly appreciate the history until they get older. But, you know, I think if you have somewhat of an understanding, then you have a little bit more pride in your program and that kind of stuff. So that's first and foremost, you know, high character guys, you know, and then obviously the basketball side of things is important too, right? Like, you could have the highest character team in the country, and if we're not winning games, then that's going to be a problem. That's going to be an issue. So, you know, finding guys that can excel in our league, and you know, that has tended to be guys that are bigger and longer and really skilled basketball players. And I think with Coach Wilb's style of play, with how his vision of how he wants to play offense, like, we got to find a bunch of skilled guys. So that's kind of been my target right now.
All right. Well, looking forward to the season. It'll be here before you know it. I know there's a lot of work that needs to be done behind the scenes, and obviously you've got your nose to the grindstone on that, along with the other assistant and Coach Wilbs alike. So looking forward to the season, and Coach, thanks for doing this, and we'll see you there on probably Friday, I'm guessing, for Bourbon and Brews there too, right?
Yep, looking forward to it. It'll be my first one.
All right. It'll be my third, and it certainly won't be the last. I'll tell you that. All right, Coach, appreciate you doing this, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Jack Nelson, head coach, or former head coach of UMary, now a lead assistant, therefore Northern State, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, you know, he can't talk about him, but we can. Lane Teets, he's a part of the program. He committed yesterday. Yep. We'll unpack that one for you coming up next and take a look at some other Tuesday action after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Maybe the coffee was hitting me a little bit too hard in that third segment there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's all right.
That happens. These things happen. It's a live show.
We are live.
We are live. We'll do it live. All right. Well, speaking of live, it's live now on social media. You can check out our website, hubcityradio.com. Coach Nelson can't talk about his commitment, but we sure can. It's one of the things about NCAA rules I always found puzzling. But Lane Teets has officially committed to Northern State University. We posted about that on our website, hubcityradio.com, and on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. NCAA Player of the Year from the freshman perspective, NCAA Freshman of the Year. And, of course, he's a Groton guy, and he played really well against the Wolves this last year. Had 15 points in a game, 4 of 4 from downtown. And tell you what, the Wolves need players. They need guys that can make a difference. And I think Lane Teets one of those guys.
Yeah, I saw his tweet, home sweet home, hashtag go Wolves. Guy's got 4 years of NCAA eligibility. You mentioned it, freshman player of the year there at Dakota State. I mean, North Star freshman of the year, averaged 11 points. three assists and nearly three rebounds. So this is a guy who can make an impact. You know, just I haven't seen him much live since he was in high school, covered a couple games there. Mm-hmm. He's just a quick athletic player, and he can create his own shot, get others involved, and looking forward to seeing how he makes an impact right away. But you know, having a homegrown guy from Groton, definitely pretty cool. We posted that on the Facebook and the X, and I'll tell you what, people are pretty jacked up. He's playing his ball at Northern State next winter.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing a difference maker on the floor there for sure. And is he going to start? Is he going to come off the bench? I don't know, but we're excited to see a local kid here in town and hopefully a difference maker there too. As it pertains to where he comes from, Dakota State, their head coach is now going to UMary. Darren Tai is the new head coach there for UMary, and which means that Dakota State's looking for a new head coach, which means Dakota Wesleyan, their head coach, Coach Williamson, left yesterday. Now he's going to Dakota State. So it's like this massive triangle. Of like if you beat this team, then what's that called? The transitive property?
Yeah, yeah.
So we got a big old transitive property going on right now. So Coach Williamson left D-Dub. Now he's the new head coach for Dakota State. That was all announced the same day. You typically don't see a coach resigning one day, and then like 8 hours later, it's also out there on social media where he's going. It's in the same state. He goes from GPAC to now the Frontier Conference.
Wow. Yeah, no, that is interesting that all came out in a certain amount of time.
Usually, never happens like
that. Yeah, usually you get
D2, NAI, doesn't happen.
Yeah,
like
you usually get like a couple days in there maybe. No, this was pretty quick. And a big shout out to Coach Williamson. Had a great year there at Dakota State.
Yeah, 20-10.
Yeah, 20-10, and now goes to the Frontier Conference. We were talking maybe it was one of those things. Is Dakota State going to be a Division II team later on down the line? It's going to be a lot of travel there on the Frontier. That's for sure. We know that for a fact.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about travel. There's going to be a lot of it, to be sure. So check out our website for more details on that. Would encourage you to check out our website for all the details on basically everything that went down yesterday. A loaded Tuesday in terms of high school track and field. The Aberdeen Roncalli boys winning the Orville Fitzer relays there. Good stuff there. How about Aberdeen Central? 91 shots ahead of second place Pier on the Lynx. Aberdeen Central, 12 over par collectively. Pier, 103. Emma Dory. And we talk about Olivia Braun and how great she is, and she is. But she's not the only player on that team. Olivia Braun finished in second yesterday. Her teammate Emma Dore in first, one under par.
Yeah, Dore with a spectacular one under 71. I mean, you have three gals there that shot in the 70s. Big-time effort, dominance from the Aberdeen Central girls golf squad.
Check it all out on our website.